Langdon's thick, dark hair was matted, and his eyes looked bloodshot and weary. A shroud of stubble obscured his jaw. Sienna turned on the faucet and guided Langdon's injured forearm under the ice-cold water. It stung sharply, but he held it there, wincing. Sienna retrieved a fresh washcloth and squirted it with antibacterial soap.
You may want to look away.
It's fine. I'm not bothered by... Sienna began scrubbing violently, and white-hot pain shot up Langdon's arm. He clenched his jaw to prevent himself from shouting out in protest.
You don't want an infection, she said, scrubbing harder now. Besides, if you're going to call the authorities, you'll want to be more alert than you are now. Nothing activates adrenaline production like pain.
Langdon held on for what felt like a full 10 seconds of scrubbing before he forcefully yanked his arm away.
Enough.
Admittedly, he felt stronger and more awake. The pain in his arm had now entirely overshadowed his headache.
Good,
she said, turning off the water and patting his arm dry with a clean towel. Sienna then applied a small bandage to his forearm, but as she did so, Langdon found himself distracted by something he had just noticed, something deeply upsetting to him. For nearly 4 decades, Langdon had worn an antique collector's edition Mickey Mouse timepiece, a gift from his parents. Mickey's smiling face and wildly waving arms had always served as his daily reminder to smile more often and take life a little less seriously.
My watch, Langdon stammered. It's gone.
Without it, he felt suddenly incomplete. Was I wearing it when I arrived at the hospital? Sienna shot him an incredulous look, clearly mystified that he could be worried about such a trivial thing.
I don't remember any watch. Just clean yourself up. I'll be back in a few minutes and we'll figure out how to get you some help.
She turned to go, but paused in the doorway, locking eyes with him in the mirror.
And while I'm gone, I suggest you think very hard about why someone would want to kill you. I imagine it's the first question the authorities will ask.
Wait, where are you going?
You can't talk to the police half naked. I'm going to find you some clothes. My neighbor is about your size. He's away and I'm feeding his cat. He owes me.
With that, Sienna was gone. Robert Langdon turned back to the tiny mirror over the sink and barely recognized the person staring back at him. Someone wants me dead. In his mind, he again heard the recording of his own delirious mumblings. Very sorry. Very sorry. He probed his memory for some recollection. Anything at all. He saw only emptiness. All Langdon knew was that he was in Florence, having suffered a bullet wound to the head. As Langdon stared into his own weary eyes, he half wondered if he might at any moment wake up in his reading chair at home, clutching an empty martini glass and a copy of Dead Souls, only to remind himself that Bombay Sapphire and Gogol should never be mixed.